And to me, it says, it's titled "The Understanding the Purpose and Power of Prayer." Mm. But I think they also ought to add on to that the importance of prayer.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I picked this book up and I read the introduction, and it was just wow. You know what I mean? It's, well, I'd have to lend it out once I've read it. So, but it's like it says in the introduction, like, you'll see all the people at church on a Sunday, and they'll say, right, tomorrow we've got a prayer meeting, tomorrow night. You get there, and you're thinking, where is everybody? Where is everybody? You know, and I don't think, even as Christians, who have been Christians a long time, I know I'm relatively new Christian. I'm only 3 and a half. But, you know, it says, I don't think they understand. But that is why I'm reading this, is because I want to understand.
Amen.
And I want to know the purpose. But God has already put it in my heart. I know the purpose. And knowing what, when you're asking for things, you're only asking for what is already promised you.
Yeah.
So, and then it's like here, it says, we're going to go through this. Do you know, like, people ask, does prayer really work? There's 9 principles here I'd like to go through. And it's like, unanswered prayer is a major obstacle that stands in the way of a life of true faith. Unanswered prayer can lead to these results. We feel abandoned and isolated from God, imagining that He doesn't care about our problems and doubting His love. We question God's character and integrity, and we begin to distrust Him. We feel as if our lives are very unsettled and unstable. Therefore, we begin to rely on ourselves or on other people, groups, or beliefs instead of God. We come to premature conclusions about ourselves and our prayers, and so we don't learn the principles and truths of prayer that God has given in His Word. We doubt our calling as God's intercessors, so that we abandon a major purpose of God for our lives. A great many believers don't have successful prayer lives and successful lives in general because they simply don't know how or why to pray. Some Christians know certain principles of prayer but are not fulfilling their potential as intercessors because they don't understand key aspects of prayer. The power of prayer is the inheritance of the believer.
Amen.
And I read that, and I just looked earlier on, and how true that is.
Mm.
It's ours, theirs, it's our power. Well, we've been given the authority.
Yeah.
We've been given the authority through the power of God.
Amen.
To understand prayer, we need to recognize the following. Prayer activity that does not bring results is an indication that something is wrong. God is faithful to answer prayer. God's will and word do work when they are understood and put into practice. True prayer builds intimacy with God, honors His nature and character, respects His integrity, believes His word, trusts in His love, affirms His purposes, and will and appropriates His promises. Praying without understanding and applying the truths and principles of prayer is ineffective. Prayer is meant to be answered, or God will not ask us to pray. Jesus didn't pray without expecting to be heard. And I'd just like to just finish off with a prayer that's here. Heavenly Father, You have said, call to Me and I will answer You and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. On the basis of this promise, we call to you and ask you to show us great and unsearchable truths about prayer that you have set forth in your word. Forgive us for leaning on our own understanding when it comes to prayer. Heal us from the spiritual and emotional effects that unanswered prayer have worked in us. Give us open minds and hearts to hear your word and to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us your purposes and truth. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our wisdom and our strength. Amen.
We've known him from being little children, and I know this. It was his 40th birthday, and I was there when he was born, and we are his godparents. And I thought, well, you know, we'll go, and it really lifted us up. And so I feel I've been lifted with the sadness.
Yeah, the circumstances we all have to go through at times that we wonder how we're going to get through them, but God's just there, just with that word, that encouragement, that helping hand, just that presence sometimes that you know.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to come round the table, and Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 15, he says, I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we all many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread.
Yeah.
You know, with the church worldwide, I'll be breaking bread at various times, and it's one body.
Yeah.
One body sharing in one body. In chapter 11, Paul reminds the church about how we come round the table. It says, for I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're proclaiming. Just by coming and sharing in the body and the blood of Jesus, we are proclaiming Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Say it verbally now. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Oh, we're going to share something for you today. We're going to prepare something, bring it round, and bring some notes and read from it and whatever. I didn't have time, so I didn't bother. So what it was going to be about is about the publicity, the way publicity is thrust upon us. And what Ken's just said a few minutes ago, Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, if that were across the front page of the Daily Mail tomorrow, and the Daily Mirror and the Sun, it might have an impact.
Mm.
Just like everything else does. I mean, the rubbish that's on them. I mean, nobody knows outside this small Christian community. Nobody knows that Jesus is alive because they're not told often enough. I mean, how many people in here think there's a knife epidemic in London? How many people think London's not a safe place to go? Well, quite a lot of people think there isn't an epidemic and it's a frightening place to visit because it's thrust down our throat almost on a daily basis. We have had 23 knife murders this year, and quite frankly, in a city the size of London, that's nothing we've had publicity about New York, how that's been brought down the crime spectrum through zero tolerance, and New York is now a safe place to live, so we're made to believe with the newspaper media, and London is not. Whereas New York still has seven times as many murders as what London does, and nobody knows that. London is still one of the safest cities in the world, and people don't know that because we've been fed. How many people think you can't let your children go out alone these days to play like we used to do in the 50s when we were kids? We used to go around the woods, and we'd stay to out in the morning, and we wouldn't come home again until the evening. Why? Because we think that child molesters and perverts have only just been born, because it's been fed to us so in such a concentrated form in the media over the last few years that we think it's a new phenomenon and it's only a stamp, so now we don't let our children out. But in actual fact, it's no worse than it was in the 50s. We had this kind of thing going on. It was reported when it happened, but then it went away, and then next day they went on to something else. But now they focus on it and they make a big scandal out of it, and the brainwashes with it. And I just think they should brainwash us with the Bible. You know, put that in the Daily Mail. Jesus is alive. Let's see it across the headlines tomorrow as I walk into Morrison's and look at all the newspapers. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And let's hear it on at least once a week. Something like that. Something on that basis. Let's see it across the, in big letters like that. Jesus is alive. On these silly, trashy newspapers. But we won't. I think that's all I want to say about it. Can't think of it. Jesus is alive, you all.
Yeah, the world's missing what's important. You know, they make no news as news. Just to fill the paper and sell newspapers. And look at some of these headlines, and these people in the entertainment world, and the world wants to know when they cut the toenails. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous when you think that the importance that the world gives to individuals that are like actors, just entertainers, and yet people that have crossed over half the world and gone into countries to tell them about Jesus, and nobody knows.
No.
Well, somebody knows.
Amen.
He knows, but they're saying in Israel, you know, the trouble they have with the Palestinians, and the Arabs are fighting on behalf of the Palestinians, you know, to give them a house space in Israel and all this and that other. Do you know who's looking after the Palestinians the most? Israel. They're the ones that give the Palestinians their finance to live, help them with jobs. And when the Hamas and the other ones come into these areas that Israel relinquished, suddenly they have no support, because Hamas doesn't support them. In fact, they're too busy fighting among themselves, the different factions. So they're saying the Muslims that are caught up in this, that live under the Israeli umbrella, feel safer than if they're under the Hamas or other umbrella. And the world doesn't know about this. The world at the moment is almost as if they're sort of queuing up with the oil states and saying that's where my friendship is, because they've got all the oil, and Israel's only a little nothing sort of thing, and so we'll say, oh yeah, Israel's got to give this, that and the other. But Israel is God's nation. Israel is special. If you read the Word of God, you'll see that Israel is special and God's got his hand on them. And one of the things that's happening there is that they are taking their eyes off God. In some respect, Israel is taking their eyes off God, and they're giving away part of their inheritance. And it is causing trouble even within the nation. But there's a lot of things happening in the world that the world doesn't know about. It just doesn't see, because the trash that we have as headlines. We see the whole structure of society is going away from the Word of God. They're losing. They're turning their back on the teaching of the Word of God. Even to bringing up children. The schools, the education, the law enforcement, everything is being strangled in its ability to actually do what it needs to do. But praise God, we've got a God that sorts it out. As well, we'll trust him and lean on him, he will sort it out. Praise God. Anybody else coming to share? Praise God.
What come to me when Bill said about brainwashing? I know a few years ago my parents, they said, oh, I don't know what were happening, I can't remember at the time, but they just said, oh, you've been brainwashed when they come into church, whatever. I thought, well, if this is brainwashing, I can certainly recommend it anyway. I just want to read this in Kenneth Copeland's Faith to Faith. It really blessed me. He said, how would you like to be so full of the glory of God that it's unmistakable to those around you? How would you like for people to be able to know just by looking at you that you'd been with Jesus? It's entirely possible if you were born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. The same mighty power that changed you inwardly when you were saved can so revolutionise you outwardly that even strangers on the street would be able to see Jesus in you. One of my favourite testimonies is the one of Jerry Seville telling of the time he was in a shopping mall with his wife Caroline. He was sauntering from one store to another, casually passing time until Caroline had finished her shopping. A woman walked up to Jerry and said, will you pray for me? Since he didn't know the woman, he was puzzled. Out of all the people in that mall, how was it that she picked him out, he asked. She said, the Lord told me to come to the mall and someone would be here who could pray for me. I came here looking for that person. I noticed a beam of light. It will go into one store, wander around, then go to another store and wander around. Some more. I followed the light until I found it was coming from, and it's coming from you. What was that light? The glory of God. It was shining from Jerry, much like it shone from the face of Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai. And that radiant presence of God brought healing to that woman when Jerry prayed. Just as the fact that Peter and John had been with Jesus was unmistakable, so was the fact that Jerry Seville had been with Jesus when the lady walked up to him in the mall. When you spend time with Jesus, it will be undeniable. His power and his glory will be reflected in you and look to the world, and his presence upon you will meet needs everywhere you go. Take time to be with Jesus today. Amen.
Good afternoon. Nice to see you all, lovely people. People are who's in Christ. There's that opening song, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. It seems to get my feet tapping. I mean, I was trying to swing. I think it's about time there's more of that and we'll get us all feet tapping. Let's dance in the aisles and it'll probably bring the people in again. Let's look at them, they're happy, aren't they? Happy in Christ. And I was going to talk about where's the Holy Spirit gone? Because I don't know if it was me, it may have been me, but all I can say is now is welcome back. Yes, so that song, Jesus, right? I enthrone you. We proclaim you our King. Standing here in the midst of us, we raise you up with our praise. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll start at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another flesh of birds, and another flesh of spirit, of fish. There is also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly one and the glory of the earthly one is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. The stars differs for the stars differ from stars in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Yeah. And that's something that you and I have to remind ourselves daily of. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And we need to realize that although we walk in a natural body, God has given to us a spiritual body. And we need to walk in the realm of the Spirit and in the realm of the things of God. Verse 45 says, also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Jesus came that he might give you life. Yes. And that more abundantly. He came to give you life in the spirit. Amen. Not just the soul.
No.
He came to redeem the soul, but he came to give life into the spirit. So when it says in John 10, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he came to give you life in your spirit, to give you eternal life, to give you a plan, to give you a purpose, to give you a goal, to give you a hope, to give you a surety, to give you that which is powerful, that will take you beyond the realms of the natural, that will let the light and the glory of God shine out of you, that will cause the power of God to move through you. And this is because we walk not in the flesh but in the spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, that Spirit man gave life. Jesus came, he was a life-giving Spirit. He was the last Adam, it says here, and he became a life-giving Spirit. However, be reminded of this. The Spirit is not first, but natural, then spiritual. The first man is from earth, earthly. The second man, it's from heaven. We spoke about that in the Lord's Prayer, didn't we? Yeah. About how the fact that Adam was taken from the earth.
Yeah.
And the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, when the disciples led to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God has got to come in us.
Yeah.
The kingdom of darkness seeks to pull us down, to destroy us.
Yeah.
But the kingdom of God has to come in you and me. And as the kingdom of God comes in us, then it then begins to be spiritual. And God is raising up a spiritual body. He's raising up a spiritual Israel. Now I know Ken talks about, has spoken even now about the earthly Israel, which is the Jewish people. And many of us are descendants from that. There are many nations that have had been influenced by that. But you know, God is doing away with the fleshly things. He said first the flesh, first the natural, but then he says then it's spiritual. Because God is spirit. And God is pressing out spiritual Israel. You know, it's a new nation. It's a new Jerusalem. It's a new purpose. It's a new goal. It's a new destiny. It's a new Lord. It's a new Saviour. It's a new King. And it's a new kingdom. And that is what God has got for his church today. He is not. It's not the old things. Old things have been passed away. Behold things, he does a new thing today. And he's doing it in his people. It has to be in his people. It has to be in you and me. And I know we're natural. And we are troubled at times with our natural, aren't we? But then God says there is then spiritual. And the Spirit comes. And the Spirit moves over our lives and quickens us and moves us and shapes us. And we need to rise into that. Verse 48 says, as is the earthly, so also are those who are earthly. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Well, you have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. Do I want to be earthly or do I want to be heavenly? Do I want to be tied down to this earth and its system and its things? And today in the newspapers, they're preaching recession. God is not in recession. The kingdom of heaven is not in shortage. And the kingdom and the people of the kingdom should not be in shortage, because my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage you. You know, we've been to the States and people are crying out about recession. And you know, they're talking about that $4 a gallon is killing them. Well, $10-$11 a gallon is killing us if that's what they want. You know, and we tell them, well, we're paying $10-$11 a gallon. Woo, are you surviving? Because we are. Jesus is on the throne. And no matter what the politicians seek to do, no matter what the Arab nations seek to do with their oil, their black gold, is whatever you want to call it, God is still on the throne. And God can do miracles far beyond. I've been in a car that ran out of petrol and slapped the dash and the thing went on till it got me to my destination. God can do great and mighty things. You see, it has to be spiritual. We have to begin to move in that mighty realm of the Spirit. Don't be held back by circumstances and situation. Break from it. Cut yourself off. Let the prayer that you pray work. Give it power. Give it victory, because let it come from your spirit. And you say, well, I'm not very strong spiritually. Well, that's okay. Keep drinking of the things of the Spirit and you'll become spiritual. Keep seeking the things of the Spirit and you will become spiritual. Keep seeking God and you will become God-like. Keep seeking Jesus and you become Jesus-like. If you seek alcohol, you become an alcoholic. If you seek drugs, you become a drug addict. If you seek Jesus, you'll be a Jesus addict. If you seek the things of the Spirit, you'll become a spiritual addict. You've got to learn to seek. Seek ye first, the Bible says, the kingdom of God. And he says, then all these things shall be added unto you. You know, people in America say, we're going bust. I'm going to have to sell one of my houses. Dear God, I'm sad for you. You know, where's Jesus in all of this? You know, I'm going to have to miss a meal. Well, you look at him and you think, thank God you're going to miss a meal. Glory to God, you can drop a size in clothing as well if you carry on like that. But, you know, they're thinking about the things of the flesh when they should be rejoicing in the things of the Spirit. That God is still in control. And that when man comes under pressure, when mankind is under pressure, maybe then mankind will start turning to the God of all gods, to the King of all kings, to the King of the universe, to the glory and the power of a God who is not in recession, who is not in short supply. For he shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, now I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. You and I are made imperishable right now through the things of God. You and I are living in a kingdom that is not going to perish. You and I are living for a destiny that's not going to be destroyed. You and I are living in a future, and for a future that is to come to pass, that is a great future. You and I are living for things which are mighty. You and I are living for victory. We're not living for defeat. You and I are living for the things that will bring glory to God and will bring glory to you. You and I are living for the days of the kingdom of God. And we're not living in darkness. The earth walks in darkness. And yet there's a great light, and his name's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And as we seek the light of the world, the light of the world will come into our lives. The glory of God will come into our lives. The power and the presence of God will move in our lives. And like the Shekinah glory that came on Moses, people will be drawn to us. And as people are drawn to us, then we release the Shekinah glory. We release the power of God, and we see dimensions of God moving and changing circumstances and situations, and God is in control of all things. The earth, the politicians, they're not in control. One does one thing in one country, another one counteracts it in another country. You know, only God has got to breathe from his throne room and everything changes. This is what we've got to get into our spirit. When God breathes the word, everything changes. No matter what man sets out to do, when God breathes that word, it changes. And God is about to do great and mighty things. But you know what? He needs you. He needs me to be moving and to be flowing in the Spirit. He needs there to be in the church a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. He needs there to be a thirsting for God, for the purposes of God, for the plans of God, so that we see God moving in great power and great might. Verse 51 says, but behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Hallelujah. We're going to be changed. Hallelujah. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet call, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. We're being changed into being imperishable. Glory to God. You know, we pray for the sick and God moves. And do you know what happens? Some of that imperishable life touches that which is perishable and changes the dynamics and changes the structure of that person, and God heals. And things are happening, and those are miracles. Those are the signs and the wonders that we need to be reaching out and seeing God moving. And when the imperishable, when this perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. You know, it could be that there's a few people here are going to die in the physically. But guess what? They've got eternal life. Death is swallowed up. When was Jesus coming? I think it's soon. But it's going to be when the church rises up. When the people of God rise up and begin to walk in the kingdom. When the kingdom of God is walking in them and working in them and living in them and is flowing out of them. And when Jesus is seen. And when your conversation is Jesus. You know, it's about Jesus. It's not about the things of entertainment. But it's about the power and the resurrection life of God. It's about when you touch somebody, you touch them with Jesus. When you touch them with immortal life, you touch the perishable with that life that is imperishable, and it quickens their mortal bodies. We need to realize that God has put in each and every one of us an ability to change lives, to speak to people and to give life. And so you and I can do this. Yeah, I know sometimes this scripture is used for when they're burying dead people. Well, bury the dead. Bury the old man. Bury the old man. Hallelujah. Yeah, let the dead bury the dead. Let the old men bury the old men. Let them bury that old man. And let's get rid of that old man. And then the word says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But God's grace and God's mercy sets us free. God's grace and God's love and God's mercy sets us free and gives us life. But thanks be to God, He who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. God will reward for all that you seek to do. God will bless you for all that you purpose to do in your life, to bring the kingdom of God into your own life first and then into the lives of others. Let the kingdom of God first be born in you. Let the kingdom of God be imparted into you. Let the kingdom of God live in you. Let the kingdom of God move through you then. And as it moves through you, it's going to touch lives, it's going to change lives. And this Israel, this spiritual Israel, will rise up to the glory of God and will see the kingdoms of darkness put down, will see lives destroyed, and will see lives set free. And give glory to Him. For He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And we shall reign in victory with Him. And we shall reign in power with Him. And He shall move in victory and power through each and every one of us as we give Him praise and as we worship Him. But you have to do it. I can't worship for you. I can't thank God on your behalf. Only you can do it. You have to verbalize. You have to break out of your bondage. You know, we were even talking, Bob and Peggy send their regards to everybody. We had a great time with Bob and Peggy. Keep praying for them. And you know, they're moving. God is moving on them. And there's a great freedom coming into their lives. And there's a change in them that God is about to do. And we thank God for that. And we were talking about bondages. Well, Bob was talking about it. And you know, you can go in the fire, but it's okay. Most of us don't want to go in the fire. But I'm telling you, it's okay. It's fine to be in the fire. It's okay. Do you know why? Because you're going to get a visitation. You are going to get a visitation from the fourth man, Jesus. Every time you're in the fire, He'll show up. Every time you're in the fire, He'll show up. Every time you're in the firing line, He'll show up. And do you know why He's showing up? He's showing up to remove those bondages. He's showing up to bring you out in power. He's showing up to reposition you. You know, when those three men, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, came out, they were repositioned in Babylon. They were promoted. They were not demoted. They were promoted. And do you know why? Because they trusted their God. They trusted the King of Kings. They trusted the Lord of Lords. They trusted the Creator of the universe. And God moved. And you know, we need to learn that when we're in the fire, praise God, we've got a visitation. He's in the fire with us. And all that's going to happen is the bondages are going to come off. And glory is going to come down. And depending on you, how long you're going to be in the fire depends how soon you realize that the visitation is due. And begin to receive the visitation of Jesus into your heart and into your life. And give him praise. And you get out of the fire as you praise him. You get out of the fire as you worship him. You get out of the fire as you magnify his name. Stop focusing on the things of the flesh. Stop focusing on buildings. Stop focusing on things. Stop focusing on these things. Because God will open more doors to you when you focus on him first. And God will open doors that you never anticipated. Why? Because you're focused on him. He says, I am the door. And he will open more doors than you've ever seen. He will open more opportunities than you've ever known before. But it's about focusing on Jesus. Don't focus on yourself. That is self-centeredness. And self-centeredness destroys. Because do you know what? This fleshly body will surely die. And if I focus on this, then I am focusing on death. I am focusing on my death. But when I focus on Jesus, I am focusing on eternal life. When I focus on him, I'm focusing on eternity. When I focus on me, I'm focusing on maybe 70 odd years or more. That's all I'm focusing on. And you can then begin to add up and you say, well, do you realize how old I am? How many years have I got left? My God, I'm going to live forever because I'm focusing on the eternity of Jesus Christ. What are you focusing on? What are you going to let rule you? What are you going to let reign you? Are you going to let the flesh reign? Are you going to let the world reign over you? Or are you going to get the kingdom of God to reign over you? Are you going to get that realm of the Spirit to flow over you? Are we going to hear the Spirit of God speaking through us? Are we going to move in the power of the Spirit? Are the spiritual gifts going to be seen in this place? Are the spiritual gifts going to be seen in these vessels? Is there going to be an outpouring from these vessels that flow into other people's lives? Are you going to be a vessel that is an outpourer? Are you going to leak Jesus? That's the thing. And we had I saw something the other day. Well, we were down at City Celebration when the man filled the glass. And you know, the glass is not full till it starts to run over. The glass is not full. The vessel is not full till it starts to run over. And if you're not running over, you're not yet full. God is seeking that you'll be full and running over. And that things, because God wants to give to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. We need to be a people running over. And the Spirit, it's only of the Spirit that we need to be running over. Focus on him. Focus on his plans. Focus on his purposes. And as you focus on him, everything around you will just fade into insignificance. Because guess what? God has got greater for you now than what you've got for yourself. God's vision and picture for your future is better than the one that you have got now. The one that you've got now is going to burn, is going to rot, is going to rust, and moths are going to devour it. The one that God has got for you is eternal. And there's no rust, there's no moth, and there's no rotting that will go on with that plan and vision and purpose that God has for you. So take God's vision, take God's plan. Go for the things of the Spirit. And when I say go, I mean go for it. When the gun goes, run. You run for the line. Well, run for the things of God. Run for the things of Spirit. Be at the church. Be a Christian every day. Focus on him every day. Let the Spirit of God flow through you every day. Be a light. Don't be a shadow. Be a light in a dark world. Be a victory. Don't be a defeat. Be a joy. Don't be a sadness. Rejoice in him. Give thanks in all things, because that is God's plan and purpose, and that his plans and purpose will work in and through you to bring glory to his mighty name. So give him praise, give him glory, and see his glory come down in Jesus' name.
Praise God. We're winners. I read this verse last week and it just so blessed me. I want to share it with you. And it was from Psalm 34. It says, look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. And I think that sums up what God's been saying this afternoon. It's time to look to him. And if we don't look at circumstances, if we refuse to look at circumstances, I want to tell you now, don't let the devil ever get you afraid or into your circumstances. Don't ever focus on what's not happening or what might happen. It probably never will, and if it does, God has a plan to get you out. And as Andrew said, your bondage will only become your victory, because the bondages will be broken as the fourth man shows up. So I just want to encourage you today, look to God, focus on him, meditate on him, and your face will be radiant, just as it was with Jerry Seville, so it will be with us. Let's focus on God. He's the only one that matters. Praise God.
Now, if anybody has any doubt as to whether prayer works, let me tell you it does. Now, I'm notoriously not very good at praying. I don't do it very often because quite often things don't come to me. But anybody who was here on Wednesday night knows that I dropped a one or two liner out. And those who have witnessed what happened here this afternoon know that that prayer has been answered. Right here in this room this afternoon. You remember? Anybody remember what it was? Right, I'm not reminding you of it. Edwin wasn't there either. So, poor Edwin. So he said something like, Lord, there's a member of our congregation who can no longer feel the spirit in this church. So I pray that it will be restored to him before he leaves us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The quickest, Psalm 8. Just got this yesterday after quite an interesting day. It all starts with a heart of thanksgiving. Oprah Winfrey was quoted in Word of Today in saying that she, at the end of the evening, writes down 5 things that she gives God thanks for. And it really said something to my spirit when I read it. And so since that day, every night, before I go to sleep, I start writing down 5 things to give God thanks for. And that's how prayer is answered, because when we've got a heart of thanksgiving, God will move. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, majestic and glorious is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory on or above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and unweaned infants, you have established strength because of your foes, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I view and consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained and established, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of earth-born man that you can care for him? Yet you have made him but a little lower than God, and you have crowned him with glory and honour. And that is why our prayers are answered. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, majestic and glorious is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Praise God. The church has woken up. Bless God. Psalm 46, and it's repeated twice actually in the psalm. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. It says in verse 10, it says, cease striving and know that I am God. Right? So all the man-made efforts, you can put them away. Because God's going to do it.
Amen.
Bless God. We've got to just walk in the right way. Be in the right place, in the right time, in the right attitude. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right, would you like to give?
Amen.
Praise God.